I think we're going to have a vaccine by the end of the year. Now, the doctors would say, well, you shouldn't say that. I'll say what I think.
Says the man who suggested we drink bleach. He looked into his crystal bald spot and expects to have a vaccine by the end of the year. It will be administered by mall Santa Clauses. Trump has also been trying to cast himself as a victim of the virus. In the shadow of the Lincoln Memorial, he complained that the media has been very, very mean to him.
I am greeted with a hostile press, the likes of which no president has ever seen. The closest would be that gentleman right up there. They always said Lincoln. Nobody got treated worse than Lincoln. I believe I am treated worse.
You're going to compare yourself to Abraham Lincoln? Well, I'd like to point out that none of his supporters carried Confederate flags.
Trump's fixation on miracle cure-alls and shortcuts is also reflected in a damning new report in the Washington Post detailing a lost month of desperation and dysfunction, in which he ignored and then abandoned the goal of actually beating back the virus and instead focused on prematurely reopening the economy without a plan to do so safely. For example, the Post reports that Trump was pushed privately by political allies like Rudy Giuliani and Fox News hosts to embrace the drug hydroxychloroquine as a treatment for coronavirus, even though it was unproven and potentially dangerous. That's right. Hydroxychloroquine. Remember when everyone cared about that for a second? The Tamagotchi of COVID cures? Well, according to the Post, night after night, in late March and early April, he kept hearing about the controversial anti-malarial drug on his favorite Fox News Channel programs, where television doctors and commentators touted its efficacy. Yeah, the TV president who played a TV businessman is listening to TV doctors like Dr. Oz and Dr. Phil's. On April 3rd, Fox host Laura Ingraham paid Trump a visit in the Oval Office to talk up hydroxychloroquine. She brought with her two regular on-air guests in what she dubs her medicine cabinet. On April 14th, Ingraham returned to the Oval Office to meet with the president. The Fox host reiterated her belief that the country needed to open and argued for limits on contact tracing. So a Fox host with no medical expertise is directly advising the president on a deadly pandemic while that same president hires pundits he sees on TV and fires or punishes actual experts and inspector generals who criticize him. This is what you get when you make a TV star president. Because when you're on TV, no one ever tells you you're wrong.
Big news from the endangered world of listening to scientists, because we learned today that the White House plans to wind down the coronavirus task force.
A range of administration officials, including the president and the vice president, spent the day telling reporters yesterday that they were winding down the coronavirus task force as early as Memorial Day. But then he told reporters this afternoon that a lot of people apparently told him how bad of an idea that would be.
And the task force aren't the only experts he's ignored. We now have more evidence, thanks to someone he fired, former director of the Biomedical Advanced Research and Development Authority, Dr. Rick Bright. Now, despite being an expert in his field, which, again, is vaccine development, Bright was ousted from his job earlier this year after he refused to toe the White House line on coronavirus. Today, Bright filed an extensive whistleblower complaint. Now, Bright says he tried to sound the alarm about COVID-19 back in January, but was met with indifference, which then developed into hostility. The complaint goes on. It was obvious that Dr. Bright's persistent demands for urgent action to respond to the pandemic had caused a storm and were unwelcome in the office of the HHS secretary. You see, during that time, the White House was trying desperately to play down the storm, saying it was nothing more than seasonal turd showers. Bright also pushed back on administration cronyism, saying he resisted efforts to extend a contract with a company whose CEO, he was told, was a friend of Jared Kushner. The question of how soon we should reopen the economy is a tough one, as explained by current top government epidemiologist.
How do you combat people's willingness to accept more cases, to accept even more death?
Well, you know, it's the balance of something that's a very difficult choice, like how many deaths and how much suffering are you willing to accept to get back to what you want to be some form of normality sooner rather than later.
I've been at the White House now for many months, and I'd like to get out.
Mr. President, we would all like to get you out of the White House.
We vote him away.
White House, the liar tweets tonight. In the West Wing, the self-obsessed wing, the liar tweets tonight. Says, hush, you doctors, hush, reporters, hush, you science nerds. Look, my ratings are through the roof when I just say happy words. Get a test. It's just the flu. It's a hoax like all the rest. A left-wing coup. We've got lots of PPE. The cupboard's bare. It's Obama's fault, you see. The buck stops there. In the country, the quiet country, no nurses sleep tonight. But in the White House, the full of shite house, the liar tweets tonight.
The preceding show was recorded at Wave Farms WGXC in the Hudson Valley in New York State.
So this is one of our great days, one of our truly great days. Very happy. You see, I got the white MAGA hat on right now because it's like a golf day or it's a happy holiday. And this is one of our great days, a great day to honor our great mothers. That's why we call it Mother's Day. It's called, well, it's not Mother's Day today. I'm not doing it on Sunday. It's a golf day for me on Sunday. But this is, we're doing it in advance, so it's a good thing. This counts, right? Right? You'd say this counts if we do it now. And it's a great, excuse me, nobody would want to make you a mother, you know that. Nobody likes a nasty woman that's not too pretty. But it's a great day to honor our women, our great women. And you know I love Mother's Day, okay? I came from a mother. Not a lot of people know that, but I came from a mother. And on top of that, I've made two women mothers, okay? That's a great thing. So it's very special to me, very special to make mothers and to honor them. And I think it's such a great rare thing, like a beautiful thing, that I've paid like eight women in my life, at least, not to be mothers, okay? That shows you how important I think it is that not everybody should do it. So the ones that do, it's an extra special honor, okay? Extra special. And and you, I know you could never make anybody a mother. You're very low energy, you're very weak. We'll leave it at that. But I've paid women not to become mothers. That's how important I think it is that we honor the great people. Even the single mothers are doing some good things these days. So we've got to honor them. It's very important. It's a beautiful thing to be a mother, you know, with all that, all the things that you've got to like do with the children and doing all sorts of things. You know, we all know. As you know, it's one of the great things right behind being a great business leader and president. It's one of the most important jobs. I think you know that. So from your president, a great happy Mother's Day to all of our mothers, including Mike. Mike, you tell Mother the beard. I know you call her Mother, so she's got like double duty this weekend, you freak. Thank you.
Think about the things that we should have done before. The way things are going, the end is about to fall. We took the wrong 5 years ago. We took the wrong 5 years ago. We took the wrong 5 years ago. Look around and see. Are writing their scriptures in the sand. We took the wrong 5 years ago. We took the wrong 5 years ago. We took the wrong 5 years ago. The morning sun is rising, casting rays across the land. Ready, nature's calling, take heed of the warning. We took the wrong 5 years ago. We took the wrong 5 years ago. We took the wrong 5 years ago.
He's gonna be okay and ready to play Symptom 6 of Beat the Reaper!
Last week, our patient successfully survived the common cold, measles, pneumonia, dengue fever, and the yaws.
And now, the big question. Are you ready to go on?
What? Where?
He's ready!
Now, our topless nurse, Judy, is wheeling our patient into the isolation ward.
Can you hear me in there? Okay, let's shoot him up. Now, patient, you have 10 seconds to tell us what you've got and beat the Reaper.
I'm shaking feverish. My hands are all... I'm turning yellow. My God, I've got jaundice.
Jaundice it is! Give it me! Symptom 6. And now you've reached the final threshold. Here's the question. Are you ready for symptom number 7? Longer than any patient has ever survived before.
I want to go home.
Only one way to do that. Doctor, bring in the super shot.
Now, for the first time on Beat the Reaper, we're going for the big disease. The icebox is being unlocked by the president of the Armenian Medical Association, under whose strict supervision these toxins are being administered.
This is it. Doctor, give him that really big disease. Now, patient, can you hear me? You've got 10 seconds to tell us what you've got, and for the last time, beat the Reaper!
I think I feel... I don't know, whatever... Whatever it is, I want to die.
Oh, I'm terribly sorry. That's not correct. You didn't beat the Reaper. Oh. Doctor, bring the patient out and show the amphitheater audience and all the folks at home just what he's contracted.
According to my careful prosthesis, this man has the plague.
Thank you, Doctor.
You're welcome.
You've got the plague. Well, isn't he a good... But first...
I opened my heart to the world. three-footed guides from the underworld. No stars in the sky shine brighter than you. You girls mean business, and I do too. Well, I'm the enemy of treason, an enemy of strife. I'm that enemy of the unlived, meaningless life. I ain't no false prophet, I just know what I know. I go where only the lonely can go. I'm first among equals, second to none, the last of the best. You can bury the rest, bury them naked with their silver and gold. Put them 6 feet under and I pray for their soul. What are you looking at? There's nothing to see, just a cool breeze that's encircling me. Let's go for a walk in the garden, so far and so wide. We can sit in the shade by the fountain side. The world over for the Holy Grail. I sing songs of love, I sing songs of betrayal. Don't care what I drink, I don't care what I eat. I climb the mountains of swords on my bare feet. You don't know me, darling, you never would guess. I'm nothing like my ghostly appearance would suggest. I ain't no false prophet, I just said what I said. I'm just here to bring vengeance on somebody's head. Put out your hat, nothing to hold. Open your mouth, I'll stuff it with gold. Are you poor devil? Look up if you will. The city of God is there on the hill. Stranger, hello and goodbye. You rule the land, but so do I. You lusty old mule, you got a poison brain. I'll marry you to a ball and chain. You know, darling, the kind of life that I live. When your smile meets my smile, or something has got to give. I ain't no false prophet, nah, I'm nobody's bride. Can't remember when I was born, and I forgot when I died.
ZMB, all zombie radio.
Hi, I'm Jack from Socrates, and I'm at the radio station with my sister Katie. You're listening to WGXC Aqua. Have a nice day.
Hay acciones cotidianas para ayudar a prevenir la propagación de enfermedades respiratorias. Lávese las manos. Evite el contacto cercano con las personas enfermas. Evite tocarse los ojos, la nariz y la boca. Quédese en casa cuando esté enfermo. Cúbrase al toser o estornudar. Limpie y desinfecte de manera frecuente los objetos que toca. Para obtener más información, visite cdc.gov/COVID-19. Este mensaje es gentileza de la National Association of Broadcasters y de esta estación.
WGXE underwriting support is provided by Hilo Catskill, cafe, bar, art gallery, and performance space located at 365 Main Street, Catskill, New York. Waveform's WGXE is pleased to broadcast live from Hilo every Tuesday morning starting at 9 a.m. In addition, Hilo live events are streamed and broadcast in conjunction with the Waveform Radio Transmit Partner Program.
WGXE is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Christine Boak of Hudson, New York. WGXE's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXE as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You, too, can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
Like a fire hydrant, like a public drinking fountain, like a park bench, WGXC is always there for you, at your service. 90.7 FM, Community Radio.
German measles, Russian flu, Montezuma's revenge. And why do we say a foreign word whenever someone sneezes?
Tomorrow, I'll take a look at swine flu, up close and personal. This is Les Nesbitt.
Trump can't mask his message to Indian country, live and let die. I'm Amy Goodman, host of Democracy Now! With Dennis Moynihan and our weekly Breaking the Sound Barrier podcast. The COVID-19 pandemic has hit the Diné Navajo people hard, inflicting the highest per capita infection rate in the country after New York, New Jersey, Connecticut, and Massachusetts. The Navajo Nation is the largest reservation in the country, larger than West Virginia, straddling Arizona, New Mexico, Colorado, and Utah. Half of the over 300,000 enrolled members reside on the reservation. Navajo President Jonathan Nez has issued some of the strongest stay-at-home measures in the country, including a weekday evening curfew and a complete stay-at-home curfew for the entire weekend. Nearby Gallup, New Mexico, with a large Diné population, has enacted a complete lockdown with the National Guard prohibiting entry. As of May 5th, despite these efforts, there were 2,559 confirmed COVID-19 cases on the Navajo Nation and 79 deaths. Among the victims, 28-year-old Valentina Blackhorse, a beloved champion of Navajo culture and a community leader. She left behind her partner, Robbie Jones, and their 1-year-old daughter, Poet.
Valentina, she loved her immediate family, her parents, her sisters, her nieces and nephews. She loved her elderly. She loved children. She was a kind and hard-working lady, and she was warm-hearted. One thing she would do anything for her immediate family.
That's Valentina's partner, Robbie Jones, speaking on the Democracy Now! NewsHour. Jones is a detention officer with the Navajo Department of Corrections. He contracted COVID-19 at work.
When she was taking care of me, I guess she contracted it. She started showing symptoms of being shortness of breath, body aches, loss of taste and smell. And I started feeling better, and that's when she started feeling sick.
Valentina Blackhorse tested positive for COVID-19 on April 22nd. She died the next day. She'd won numerous pageants, being named Miss Western Navajo and Miss Diné College, among others, and hoped to run for office in the Navajo Nation government one day. Dr. Michelle Tom is a member of the Navajo Nation as well. She's a family physician at Winslow, Arizona, just across the Navajo reservation line. She spoke about Valentina's death on Democracy Now!
Is a reflection of what we're going through as a people. And it correlates with what this virus can do to our young. As someone who is very motivated loved our culture, spread our culture, are rich and strong in our language. And that's what we're trying to fight for. And she was going to lead our next generation. And so it was a hard loss for our community.
The Navajo Nation, along with the nearby Hopi, Pueblo, Zuni, and Gila River indigenous communities, have endured despite centuries of genocide, oppression, and systemic racism and poverty. The novel coronavirus pandemic is afflicting them disproportionately, as it has African American and Latinx populations across the U.S. Access to water is challenging on the Navajo reservation. Again, Dr. Michelle Tom.
That's from a long state of histories with treaties and our relationship with the government, and our infrastructure for water has never been at the capacity where we can provide water for everyone on the reservation. So you're telling people to wash their hands for 20 seconds, and yet people are trying just to get water, just to drink, and just to cook with.
President Donald Trump made a rare trip during the pandemic Tuesday, visiting an Arizona N95 mask factory where he ignored factory rules by not wearing a mask. Guns N' Roses blared from a factory sound system, playing the song Live and Let Die. It's not clear if it was a coincidental music choice or not. President Trump also met with elected officials, including Navajo Nation Vice President Myron Leiser. The Navajo Nation joined a lawsuit filed by numerous Native tribes against Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin for his abject failure in disbursing $8 billion promised to Native American tribes in the CARES Act.
So the amount of money that's being sent to Indian country, as we call it, is the largest amount in the history of the U.S., and you deserve it, and you've been through a lot.
That's President Trump speaking to Navajo Vice President Leiser.
The Navajo Nation will soon receive over $600 million. That's a lot. Should I renegotiate that? Can we renegotiate that?
But there was no laughter back on the Navajo reservation. Navajo President Jonathan Nez said today the federal government announced they intend to release a portion of funds appropriated by Congress over a month ago to tribes to help fight COVID-19, but I'll believe it when I see it. He went on, "We couldn't sit around and wait for those dollars, so we've had boots on the ground in nearly 20 communities giving out food, water, firewood, protective masks, and other supplies." Navajo President Jonathan Nez himself tested positive for the virus. He concluded, "We lost many of our beloved relatives and family members to this virus, but our teachings also tell us to move forward. We will and we are," he said. I'm Amy Goodman with Dennis Moynihan.
For some reason or another, you sound a little taller on radio.
Should I talk about the was it the spoofing thing?
Yeah, why not?
Did
yeah,
you want
good
me to...
thing to go out with?
Okay, great. Let's see. The Greene County Sheriff's Office recently handled a larceny case regarding a subject impersonating a deputy. The call came from a number associated with the Sheriff's Office, a spoofed number. The Sheriff's Office will never demand bank information or money in the form of gift cards over the phone for payments towards anything. Of course. Please do not give any personal information out over the phone unless you're 100% sure who you are talking to, and be very mindful about scams involving gift cards. So somebody was spoofing the Greene County Sheriff's Office phone number.
And they were calling, asking people for gift cards?
Yep.
Yes.
A lot of scammers will call and ask for either a gift card or for you to wire money to them through, say, Western Union, or send them a money order.
And people don't think it's strange that the police are calling them saying, "Hey, I'll take care of this fine. We need an Amazon card from you."
Yes, well, hey, that's exactly what they do.
See, honor and obedience culture has its limitations.
We have a warrant out for your arrest, and you know you could just pay the fine. That's a common one.
I've seen in actual court in this town, judges say to people specifically, "This is your fine, and we want cash, and we want it from you now. Get it now, or within this very tight time frame, or we're going to double fines against you." So using money as a threat against citizens is very, very common,
Because they do it anyways, for real.
Exactly. So this is very believable.
No one finds it strange they're not saying money, they're saying gift cards. Because that's the part I would immediately find unusual.
That's the clincher.
Hey, right? This is 2020. We're in the middle of the COVID-19 crisis. Nobody wants to deal with cash. So maybe jumping to gift cards or credit card payments might be the way to pay fines now. I don't necessarily blame the people that might succumb to this, but one thing that's definitely never going to happen is the cops are never, ever going to directly ask you for money unless it's for two reasons. One, they're asking for a bribe, or two, they want you to pay for the policeman's ball. That's it. If otherwise, money is collected by the court system. Am I wrong?
You're
anybody?
Probably right.
You are correct, sir.
Okay.
This is the story of how I, Donald J. Trump, became the most perfect president in the history of the United States, even if the Democrats, Never Trumpers, fake news, and Constitution say otherwise. It all started with my perfect inauguration with the biggest crowds ever recorded. Just ask the crowd scientists.
That's not exactly what we said.
They gave the whole day a perfect 10, which is also what I scored on my stable genius test.
Can you find the lion?
There, I found the lion.
Perfect.
Did I mention my perfect campaign promises? Like building a big, beautiful wall or starting a travel ban that keeps out immigrants that aren't hot enough to marry.
Be best and hot.
Unfortunately, the terrible midterms happened and a bunch of very unattractive traitors got elected to stop me.
We don't want America to be great.
Sad. But joke's on them, because I appointed two Supreme Court justices who promised to find everything I did perfect.
Cheers to a perfect president.
And then I started a perfect trade war with China.
Actually,
which our farmers totally loved after I explained it to them.
Never mind.
And I would end every perfect day destroying my haters on Twitter.
Breaking: the president attacks a senator on Twitter who died yesterday.
So, that just means I get the last laugh. Perfect. Everything was going great until some traitor in the White House spied on my perfect phone call to the president of Ukraine and said it was less than perfect just because I gossiped about Joe Biden. That's when nasty Nancy Pelosi and shifty Adam Schiff went on a total witch hunt.
We're going to impeach you because we're jealous.
And the trial will be very long and boring with low ratings.
But luckily, the Senate acquitted me because they actually read my perfect transcript and also because I am innocent.
Mr. President, you are hereby perfect again.
So now I alone can get back to fixing America, whether it be getting rid of low-energy toilets or curing coronavirus with lots of medical. You're welcome. So re-elect me, America, because I'm the perfect American president. Or don't. I'll be getting help from WikiLeaks and Russia without your dumb vote anyway. No collusion.
East End was once a happy town, where harmony and love was busting out at all the seams and in the trees above. The doves of peace were laying eggs. There were no signs of strife, for each man loved his neighbor and sometimes his neighbor's wife. But a sudden change soon come about. Storm clouds were in the sky. Nobody stopped to kiss a body coming through the rye. For each man eyed his neighbor with malice and with hate. Housewives no longer spilled the beans across the garden gate. We had a war, a civil war. Folks often asked us what we're fighting for. Well, most of us wanted water mains and sewers and bathtubs too. But the rest of them decided they'd make the slop pails do. It was sewer pipes versus slop pails. The town was split in two. With profane propaganda, the air was often blue. The sewer and water faction ran a sanitary plank. They said shallow wells and slop pails and toilets always stank. We had a war, a civil war. Folks often asked us what we're fighting for. Well, most of us wanted water mains and sewers and bathtubs too. But the rest of them decided they'd make the slop pails do. But those slop pailers were stubborn. They fought with tooth and nail. They said our nitwit council should be languishing in jail. They told how high taxation and plumbers' union fees would throw us in the poorhouse and they'd throw away the keys. We had a war, a civil war. Folks often asked us what we're fighting for. Well, most of us wanted water mains and sewers and bathtubs too. But the rest of them decided they'd make the slop pails do. But when the vote was counted, the slop pailers met defeat. And then they started tearing up our quiet village street. Now peace and harmony once more replaced the grapes of wrath. So when next you visit East End, just stop in and have a bath. We had a war, a civil war. Folks often asked us what we're fighting for. Well, most of us wanted water mains and sewers and bathtubs too. But the rest of them decided they'd make the slop pails do.
Focus. Focus. Every community benefits from having a public square, public parks, public amphitheaters, public fire hydrants, drinking fountains, swimming pools. The public airwaves belong to the public, a public space that is here, there, and everywhere. The local community, connected through invisible magic, the ability to be in two or more places at once, through the miracle of electromagnetic radiation. WGXC is a creative community radio station for Greene and Columbia counties in New York State's Mid-Hudson Valley. Since time immemorial, known for its great natural beauty. The land of Rip Van Winkle. The land of the Hudson River School painters. The land of video freaks. WGXC is committed to hands-on radio, available to all in the community. Music shows, contemporary, traditional, music from around the globe, jazz, rock and roll, classical, rap, country, avant-garde, novelty, popular, medieval, disco, skiffle, and much, much more. Programs about farming, economics, love, the criminal justice system, psychology, spiritual matters, call-in programs, and local events. Community radio, the most democratic medium there is, uniting disparate populations of Greene and Columbia counties, bridging the Hudson River. And radio has been informing, entertaining, exciting, and soothing listeners for generations. Every Saturday and every night after the midnight hour, Transmission Arts programming can be heard. Long after the sun has gone to bed, this is a special time for strange signals, sounds, noises, contact with far-out spaces, inner spaces, joy, fear, theory, spirits, the seldom heard or heard from. The sky's the limit. The Federal Communications Commission, or FCC, assigns licenses to broadcast over specific frequencies. Over time, these licenses have fallen almost exclusively into the hands of commercial interests. But the public should have control of the public airwaves and should have access to microphones, transmitters, loudspeakers, and exercise its inalienable right to perform civic duties on air. For commercial radio, turning a profit is the number one priority. Broadcasting advertisements and jingles, pay-to-play chart toppers, corporate invective, and other nuisances. Community radio is non-commercial. Its mission is to serve the community by putting local people at the controls. It's up close and personal, inclusive, friendly, and supported by listeners. And it doesn't cost you nothing to host a show on WGXC. You don't have to be a so-called professional at all. All you have to do is know what you want to do and do it. Programmers are volunteers, and most live in the area and can be heard far and near. Because of a dearth of available frequencies for non-commercial radio, micro-radio stations appeared. For these small unlicensed stations, the act of broadcasting was an act of civil disobedience. In 1997, Free 103.9 began microcasting, mounting antennas on Brooklyn rooftops with a signal heard by the surrounding blocks. The station was started by a group of artists interested in transmission as a creative medium, and Free 103.9 became an organization dedicated to transmission arts. In 2004, Free 103.9 expanded to Greene County, becoming known as the Wave Farm in Acre, New York, at the foot of the Catskill Mountains. The Wave Farm became a rural headquarters for transmission arts. Radio transmission is a creative medium for all manner of endeavorists. It was here that the idea of a hands-on community radio station serving Greene and Columbia counties, WGXC, was conceived and made into a reality. If you have a portable radio with you, you could tune in right now. Radio where you can expect to hear children at large, orators, live freaks, DJs who sing along live with records, live private conversations when microphones are left on, laughing, crying, unrestrained weeping on and off the air. Young people holding court. Members of your local government. Dedicated collectors. And the rebroadcast of radio landmarks such as Orson Welles' War of the Worlds, Uncle Don's bloopers, historic speeches by American presidents, and old-time radio plays that aired before you were born. You may even hear a sampling of other radio stations, or the specialized broadcasts of weather radio, police radio, citizens band or CB radio, walkie-talkies, cell phones, shortwave, or ham radio. The diversity of the programming on WGXC was noticed immediately after going on the air.
I hear there's a hippie cult that has its own radio station.
Will it destroy the community?
No, it is the community.
I want to be on the radio too.
One might even call WGXC a utopian institution, a beacon of hope, a useful guiding light, a resource, a social chemistry laboratory, a land of liberty, a zoo, a haven, a convergence of every possible walk of life and reason for transmitting. Wayfarm's federally licensed WGXC 90.7 is listener-aided and abetted radio and is supported by listeners. You may listen to and support WGXC by contacting WGXC.org. You can donate to the station. The broadcasts are also streamed live on the web, or archived, and can be heard at any time all over the world. But best of all, you can tune in locally on any FM radio, at home, at work, while driving. Yes, it is safe to listen to WGXC while operating a motor vehicle. Just turn on and tune in.
Make that run, sire. Come on, Sam, and go check Mr. Pena.